Welcome to the Breaking Chains podcast, where we are breaking free from the chains of our past and rising to lead extraordinary lives. I believe it's time we ditch the rules of this world that are keeping us enslaved in the grind, playing from behind, and instead opt in to a conscious and strategic upgrade, one that is founded in timeless principles that can only be accessed through the power of the heart. So if you've been craving deeper, more meaningful relationships, vibrant bodies full of life force and true prosperity in all arenas, this podcast is for you. My name is Christine Jewell. I'm a high performance coach and faith-based mentor, and together we will awaken the king or queen you are destined to be so you can experience the fullness of life that's waiting for you. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back to another episode. It is Breaking Chains with Christine Jewell, and today I'm coming off of an event that I attended this past weekend, which was amazing. We actually ended yesterday morning, and I took some extra time. And today I want to share some practices that I personally have in place for when I travel, especially back-to-back weekends. Now, this is 3 or 4 weekends in a row that I've been traveling out of town at different various things, from family reunions to volleyball tournaments to work-related events and conferences. So there's been a lot of coming and going, and I wanted to share some of the things that I did over the last couple of days of how I've shifted gears, how I've broken free of the old way of doing things, and how I'm living today that allows me to drop into more peace, more of a rhythm, more flow in my work and in my days. And as always, you know, the topic is breaking chains. We're breaking free of the crazy addictions of our past. Sometimes those addictions are drugs, alcohol, women, sex, you know, people pleasing, being busy, you know, addiction to striving, the addiction to always needing to be busy, always having to be thinking is so prevalent. And I think even more so than anything else is this incessant neediness to be striving all the time, and this inability to actually rest without your body going into some kind of shock, right, is common for a lot of people, or just really uncomfortable with that. And I hear things like this all the time. I operate best under pressure. I perform my best when my back's up against the wall, right? Like, we have these programs that are faulty and broken. And while pressure does produce diamonds, pressure all the time breaks things, right? When you force things, you break things to after a certain point. When you apply too much pressure, you break things. So knowing how much pressure to apply and when to apply and when to put, you know, pull back and do rest and recovery are such important conversations if you want to be a high performance, you know, leader, a high performance athlete. And one of the things I want to share with you guys listening, you know, I've said this probably the last few episodes, because it's been very fresh. It's been in my daily conversations with my clients, is that if you guys want to operate like high performance athletes, you are high performance mental athletes. You're high performing mental athletes. A lot of the people here are also training in the gym hard, right? Maybe you might be training in the gym hard, but then you're hitting it at work and you want to crush everything 360. And the thing is, if you want to play at that level, you want to perform at that level, you need to train and operate your schedule at that level. That means you're not supposed to be on having that Super Bowl day, that performance day, you know, that peak state every single day of like your best game day kind of on. You need days where you have recovery and rest and practice. So we've talked about that before, but I want to share just some quick, easy things. Today's a very light episode, actually, because I want to make it practical and tactical about what do I do when, you know, travel starts stacking like that. Some of you are on the road. Maybe you're traveling for work. Maybe you're just like feeling like you're always on the go. Maybe it's kids' events, right? It's like every time you think you get a break, there's one more thing that you got to go to that you need to show up for. So I think this applies to many different places where you just feel like you've been running, you've just been on, and maybe your body's asking for a little bit of a different pace or a different rest. Or you might be experiencing something like what I heard the other night at one of the dinners that we had. We had this big dinner after the event, And the lady sitting next to me again said, you know, I don't feel like I hear God speaking to me very much. I was sharing some stories with her, some visions, some dreams, some downloads that I'd had. And she was looking at me like, why don't I hear from God like that? You know? And she said, I pray every day. I do this. I do this. I do this. I do, I do, I do. But then I don't really get much. And, you know, I looked at her and her heart was in the right place, right? Our hearts are in the right place. We want to do good. We want to do everything. We want to make sure we check everything off the list. And I suggested to her, as I often do to my clients, and you also hear me say on this podcast, maybe you got to stop doing so much for a minute and start just listening, just start sitting and being. So I wasn't actually going to bring that up, but it came up. So I'm going to share that. So if you have been busy, 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 and you've been asking for wisdom and you've been asking for clarity and you've been asking for direction and you've been asking for what's the next step and it's not coming through, I would encourage you, as I did to her, maybe it's time to just be still with God. You know, I often talk about my thinking chairs or being outside and just inviting him to come walk with me. And I don't need to talk. We just walk and I just listen, you know, whatever he speaks into me and speaks into my heart. In fact, I was just on the plane. I'm deviating again. Same thing, but I was just on the plane flying back this morning from Panama City, and it was a full weekend. There was a lot of things going on. There was a lot of connections. There was a lot of camaraderie. There was a lot of teaching. I mean, there was a lot of power in the room. There was so much to think about, so many new ideas flowing, so many great conversations. And we were up late last night playing the Love Bomb game. So if you guys don't know what that is, you need to check that out because that's a really good game. But I was in the plane and I thought, you know, I brought my laptop because I was going to brain dump and do some things that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But I just wasn't, my brain was full. My head was full and I could have pushed through. I could have pushed through. My old self would have pushed through and then just gotten in those notes and gotten in the spreadsheet or gotten in whatever. But I just closed my eyes and I was like, you know, God, just what do you have right now that you need me to know that I just need to hear? Cause my head is full. In this moment, my head is full. And, I was starting to feel a little bit of that restlessness and that anxiousness that we get. And so I just closed my eyes and I had the most beautiful, beautiful download that he showed me that I'm not ready to share yet because it's a vision that's unfolding. But it was so awesome. And I sat there for about 20 or 30 minutes just receiving this image and just letting it sit, right? Letting it sit. And then after, when I felt like I had rested a bit mentally, I just captured that moment of that beautiful vision that he gave me again. And they've been stacking throughout the weekend. And I actually have a running iNote that I keep and a running document that I keep whenever I get these visions and these dreams. And I'm a very visual person. I've always had a lot of imagination, creativity. So God often speaks to me when I close my eyes through imagery. And that's just the way that I receive besides many other ways. It might be different for you. But the point was, getting to that point where you know you're just full and you need to just be still. You don't need to do one more thing. You actually need to do nothing but sit there for a moment and just be empty yourself so that you can receive. So I want to just share, what do you do when you got things going, going, going? I want to share five practices. Okay. So I already mentioned five practices, five things that I have really switched it up. I want to say in my old life, my old way of doing things, this is like pre Warriors of the Heart and everything that I teach now in the round table. I used to be on from 5 a.m. right till the minute I hit the bed, and I would like push everything right up until the moment we had to jump into the conference room. And the minute that an event was over, you know, you jump on the plane and you head back. And I saw people doing that. And I know that often people do that. And I'm not knocking that if that's what you do. But one of the things that's really changed the game for me, at least in terms of really absorbing what I learn, what I experience and making it real so that I actually execute on the things, is these five practices. Okay. As well as keeping my energy levels up, quite frankly. So number one, I always, always, always take an extra day minimum on the front end and on the back end of any event that is a business type of event, any event that I'm hosting, anywhere where I'm going, where there's a lot of people. I'm very energetic, right? So I love being around people, but I also find it very draining for me, right? So I need more time to myself. And I really rejected that for many years. I always felt like I needed to just be in the room, be standing up, be talking, be saying yes to every dinner invitation, be saying yes to every time somebody said, hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to go, you know, out for dinner? You want to go over here and talk about this idea during breaks? I used to say yes, yes, yes all the time. A huge shift that I've made is, number one, practicing the art of giving myself more blank space. So I go in a day before just to really drop in. Number one, give myself a break and transition. You guys know I talk a lot about having transitions from one thing to the other. So like I mentioned, I went to Orlando to see my dad for his 82nd birthday. We went to Minnesota for a family reunion for Mark's mom's 80th birthday. We went to Savannah, Georgia for a kids volleyball championship tournament. Then I went to Panama City for this perspective event, which was amazing. If you guys don't follow Stacey Wallace, you got to follow her. She's a firecracker. She's an amazing powerhouse of a woman. So it was a lot. There was just a lot going on. At the same time, all this stuff is starting to happen because the book is starting to get in momentum. We're preparing for the launch and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things. And having that extra buffer day allows me to have that transition, right? To just drop in and really decide to be a fully present for what I'm going into so that I'm not scrambling, trying to finish up loose ends, finish emails, finish this, finish that, texting other people while I'm also dropping into an event. I want to get there early. I want to be rested when the event starts. I don't want to fly in and run into the room. I don't want to fly in late the night before and fly into the room. That's just poor mental bandwidth practice anyways. That is poor energy mastery and poor energy management to drop in late, have no transition, have no preparation, and you go in. And if you think, oh, I do it all the time, I'm good, you're kidding yourself, because science shows us that we can't operate like that and really show up to our fullest. You might be there in body, but you're not going to fully be there energetically and in your presence. So I always take it down the front end. I drop in, I get used to the environment, I got to have a day to go for a long walk, settle in, clean up some things that I needed to clean up, and then just, you know, connect. There were some people coming in, so it gives you a chance to connect with some people coming in. On the back end, I also take a day, because afterwards, it's like three full days or two full days of conversations and information and content and breakouts, and there's a lot. So I take that day to let the stuff marinate. Again, I see people get, you know, an event ends and they're running out the door to catch their plane. And I get it. We all have kids. We have places to be, things to do. But really giving yourself the gift and giving the work, honestly, the gift of having that extra day or that time on the back end to let it soak in. Again, this isn't about having to do anything and going right away, I have to do all this stuff, but it's just allowing the work to work in you. Again, I say this so often on my coaching calls to my clients where they're like, okay, you told me this thing, or I had this moment of awareness and now nothing is happening and what's going on? And I'm like, look, there's so much happening below the scenes. There's so much at work. Once you have the seeds are planted, the ideas are in there, you've taken the notes. Yes, we want to execute. And also you just need to sometimes sit with the things, let things marinate. When you let them sit, they materialize, right? They start to take shape. You get more clarity around certain ideas. You get more focus, right? Things just come into focus. So I always take time to not necessarily do anything, but I use the analogy of like, you know, like you got to let things marinate. You got to let the work start working you. So that's number one. The second thing that I do is this is, and again, these are not necessarily in the exact order, but pretty close. The second thing I do is I do a brain dump. So the next day, usually after the event is over, I will take some time to just brain dump. And this is a process that's not a one and done. Like it takes about 24 to 48 hours of really getting the things out. And it will continue to be a living document because, again, the work is working in you. But I do very quickly before I go into the next thing or jump back into work, absolutely before I jump back into other work, I don't want to lose what I just got, right? This is like finishing up people that finish a book and then they just jump right into the next book and then they jump in and they're like eating content and eating information, but not digesting, not assimilating anything really. Like they're not getting the meat of it. So doing a brain dump is super simple, right? You're just getting ideas out. And I want to share five quick things that I brain dump. Obviously you have notes that you take during your event. So you have your notes. And number one, you know, I write down my downloads. So what are the downloads that I got during the event? You know, those ideas that come through, those visions that you're like, yeah, what about this? Right. So you want to capture in a different area or in a different method, the downloads that you got from the event. For me, sometimes I get a download and I know, okay, it's time to move on this. Sometimes I get a download and it's like a piece of information for something else that I'm going to need later. So not everything is about you've got to execute on this right now, but I want to capture those things that dropped into my realm of consciousness. And you'll know whether it's time to move or if it's like, this thing still needs to get fleshed out. So that's number one. The second thing that I download, obviously, you're brain dumping your notes. You're just cleaning it up, right? What was the content that you got? I usually do a day one recap, day two. These are your like takeaways, right? What were your great takeaways from day one, day two? I highlight the things I want to highlight. I put structure. Sometimes notes can get messy, so I like to put them back into structure with headings and stuff so you can go back and like actually see what you saw or what you wanted to take away. Number three is I put down action steps, right? So I create one list of all the actions that I am going to commit to coming out of this event. They could be super simple things like conversations I need to have with some of my team. They could be hiring certain people, booking appointments, but anything that I'm committed to actually moving the needle on, I will make a separate list and a brain dump for these are the action items from that event, right? The other thing that I also make a list of is coaching points, things that I want to teach, things that I want to coach. Sometimes it's my team, sometimes it's my clients, sometimes it's our kids, but neuroscience shows us and studies show us that when we teach what we just learned, we absorb it faster. This is why when we also have events, we're always like, go teach someone else. When we're on coaching calls, go teach this to somebody else on your team. Talk to your kids about this. You know, don't just be this, let this be for you. So if there's those opportunities that are like, yes, I need to like take this and now drop this same seed into my team members or go and talk about it with my husband. Or maybe I want to write a post about this or whatever it is, but you want to be able to teach. You want to be able to, obviously you're going to put your own spin to it, right? We're not copycatting someone else's stuff, but you want to grasp those concepts. That's the whole point. You get filled up so that you can then be a vessel to pass on the messages, right? To pass on the learning. It's not so that you can just hoard everything. So we got downloads, we got cleaning up the notes, we got action items, we got teachable things. And again, I also put these like specific projects. This is different than downloads, but this is actually like projects that I know that I want to move on, that I'm inspired on, but not right now. So there are things to like put in the freezer or put in a bank, right? An idea bank for later. So if I'm inspired by certain things, or anything like that, that I'm like, that would be amazing. I want to have a go at that. Or we get to, you know, redo our website or whatever it is. I know it's a project. I know it's something that I've got to do, but not right now. So my point of this brain dump is to really think about what are the things you want to have quick access to later. So I like to have a place that my thoughts are structured. I can go back and go, okay, what were the highlights of that event, right? You've got that. What are the action steps? Why do I want that? Just like every great book to me that is a leadership book or whatever, we usually have prompts or some kind of action challenge in the back of a chapter. I want to know that I went to that event and I didn't just go home. And then you're like, what did I even get from that event? Did I actually do what I said I was going to do? Like what, when we can look back and we can see that we kept a promise and a commitment to ourselves, we see that we are making forward momentum. So not only does it feel amazing, it builds confidence, it builds certainty, and it also helps you realize the value of what you gained from that event. I think that's so important. Obviously, I talked about the coaching, things that you want to coach other people, ideas for the future, right? So whatever that method is for you, you might have other things that you brain dump. almost always I end up creating some kind of new materials for my team, new forms, new handouts for meetings or different structures. So I also, you know, have that under my action items, usually things that I'm going to have my team start to create as a result of these events. Okay. The point is to get things clear for you so you know exactly where to go and you know exactly what to do with it instead of just having these random notes all over the place. And then you're rushing into your next day at work, leading your teams, running around back-to-back meetings, and then you're trying to go back and collect everything. So the brain dump is super important. Number three is nourishment. This is so important. Recalibrate, recalibrate, recalibrate. When you are in an environment, A, you're in a different environment than your own home. You've been in a plane. You've been around all those people. You're exposed to all kinds of stuff. The food's different when you travel. Like inflammation goes up when you travel. Your sleep's usually affected when you travel. So one of the things I do is I do like the next day or two are big recalibration days for me. I do extra hydration. We have hydration tabs that we use, electrolytes that we use. I do more breath work. I did two meditations today just because I needed it. I did, obviously I did one on the plane, but I did another one just right before I recorded this podcast. I walked outside. You guys know I'm a big fan of grounding, getting down. I walked around outside on the grass in the sunlight. So we get a good dose of sunlight. We get a good dose of grounding. We hydrate again with high quality mineral water and electrolytes. Sometimes I'll go get an IV, to be honest, IV treatment. I love an infusion of vitamins when I travel, but also just really good food. You know, especially those of you who are in places where you're eating restaurant meals or quick meals and stuff like that, even the healthy stuff, half of it, like more than half of it is garbage. So really, if you're not in the habit of getting yourself some good quality proteins and having them around you, fruits, vegetables, you need to like recalibrate your system, right? It's almost like you're clearing all the gunk out and you're resetting everything. So I'm going to go back through that list again. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Infusion of hydration. What we do on these events usually is have way more coffee, sometimes alcohol, than we're used to. I didn't drink this time, obviously, but just hydrate. Number two, you got to get in sunlight. Again, a lot of times you're spending a lot of time indoors. You're on airplanes. There's a lot of synthetic environment. There's all kinds of, sick people and things around you. You're exposed to a lot more elements. So get in the sun. Get in the fresh air, get your feet on the ground, and feed yourself well. The temptation to grab quick fix carbs, processed, refined foods, that again, all of this stuff is messing with your mental clarity. It's messing with your inflammation. They're creating inflammation. They're slowing down your thinking abilities. And again, this is what I see. I'm sharing these super basic tips because what I see is people rushing, just kind of shoveling food in. And I know, right? Because I've been coaching in the health and wellness space for so many years as well, is like, I don't have time to slow down. I just got to go. And so always on the run. When you eat on the run, that is a hot mess for your digestion, right? You, again, don't have time to digest, to have like your actual digestive enzymes working properly. It affects the health of your gut bacteria. It affects your body's ability to digest, process, and assimilate the food when you're rushing. So eating while you're on the car and eating while you're walking through an airport or eating. And then what are you eating, right? So one of the things I did actually when I landed was I ordered Instacart to the hotel. Thank God they had the fridge. And I just stocked the fridge with like meat and cheese and fruit and vegetables and pineapple and gallons of water from my hotel room. And I got good coffee for me because I'm a picky about my coffee. So I had the good coffee and the organic cream, grass-fed cream. So I had everything that I knew I wanted at the top of the day to set me up because I didn't know what the conference schedule was going to be like. I didn't know like what kind of snacks are they going to have in the room? Are they going to have good quality proteins available? I wanted to have that stuff. So, and plus, when you're in those places, you're just waste. It's like you're throwing so much money. Food is so expensive and you're oftentimes paying a lot of money for a lot of crap. So nourish, nourish, nourish. set yourself up. And again, you know, what's the cool thing is once you make an Instacart list or have your assistant make you an Instacart list of high protein things, like you can get that stuff delivered ahead of time. That's something you can automate. You don't have to think about. You can buy in bulk. You can have it at home and you can actually like have somebody put them into big, you know, Ziploc bags for you. And just throw them in your suitcase when you travel. Obviously you can't take fresh stuff, but you could do protein bars and grass-fed beef bars and, you know, collagen and greens. You can do different things that you can use. So that's something else that I do is recalibrate nutritionally with light. I usually go for a walk or get a workout in. If that hasn't happened yet today, that's happening. And I want to just say these last two things. I'm going with five, is I do a cleanup and setup, right? As I come in that next day, today's Monday, the event ended yesterday morning. So I had a full day, 24 hours, and then I flew in today. Two things I'm doing today is I'm recording this podcast, which is not a high energetic demand for me, and I have a coaching call. That's it in terms of output. My day today is very much like a light day. So I'm using this day to do those two key things, delivering. I'm going to be there with my client. I'm going to record this podcast. But the rest of the day is for nutrition, for recalibration, for my walk, and for cleaning up and setting up for the week ahead. So what are all those arrows that I want to be sending out to get people going on these things that I wrote down from my brain dump, right? So you're organizing yourself, you're cleaning it up, and you're setting up the things that you want for your team to do this week that you want to do, and you start to block those things into your schedule. Again, what I see people doing that are frenetic in the pace all the time, scheduled back to back, is they're just like, boom, back in it, rushing around, and there's not a clear, you know, there's no clear plan for communicating things, when things are going to happen, when we're going to implement, what we're going to implement. And we have a bunch of notes everywhere. We're kind of probably still tired. We're dragging our feet a bit, and we're either caffeinating or, you know, taking stuff to 5-hour energy drinks or whatever to keep going. That is so suboptimal. You know, you're just setting yourself up to totally crash and burn. So for me these days to really just go, okay, this is going to be a low output day. I'm going to do 1-2 key things. And then the rest of the time is really just clean up, think about who my arrows are going to go out to this week. What things am I going to initiate so that you end the day feeling like, okay, I've got some things, I've got clarity, I've got direction, I've got things set to be in motion. I can have a full day of feeling rested. So when I come tomorrow, I can be on again, right? So that's like 2 or 3 days post event. Dan Sullivan talks about having those performance days when you're on and you're in it and you're like, you know, you're in it to win it. Event days are like that. When you're out there and you're in the field and you're meeting, whether it's clients or you're networking or you're connecting with people, you're face to face. That's a big energetic output. It might be an energetic lift for some of you that are big people, people. And so you might get really full from that, but you can't be doing that all the time without recalibrating, resetting, restructuring, right? So he talks about, we have those focus days, we have those performance days, those power days, whatever you like to call them. I think I talked about this in the last podcast. Again, we have practice days or more of like a recovery style day, right? It's not a full on recovery. We're still working, we're still showing up, but we're more organizing. We're cleaning things up. We're getting things off the list. We're setting things up. It's a different intensity and we are not scheduled back to back to back to back, right? Then you have full recovery days, which was yesterday. It was a day of like the event ended in the morning. We sat on the beach. We sat by the pool. I let the work work. We went for dinner. We sat around and talked. It was a day of connection, you know, just hanging out and relaxing without feeling the pressure to, oh my gosh, I got to go do it right now. Okay. I think that's it. We talked about all the things. So 5 things that I do, always take an extra day on the front end and the back end, right? A 1 day on the front end, intention setting, get acclimatized to your environment, transition out of what you were doing, clean up what you got to clean up so you can be fully present. Back end to let the work do the work in you, right? So you can get that rest day on the back end. Number two, I do a brain dump. I love my brain dumps. This is not a to-do list. A brain dump is not a to-do list. It's not like one big running list. You have different notes for different things. You're getting things out of your head to open up bandwidth. The brain dump is very strategic. Number one is to empty yourself, to get those things out of your head so you can open up space again, to organize your thoughts, and to prioritize what's getting where, who's doing what, right? And you're making sense of all of the noise inside of your head. Number three, we're going to recalibrate. We're going to nourish. We're going to refill the stores. Being on the road is energetically demanding. Being around people all the time is energetically demanding. Being on, energetically demanding. So again, just make sure that you are nourishing like an athlete. You are recovering like an athlete. Last thing I talked about was really doing that setup, that cleanup, and that setup so that you can go into the week feeling really good. So I hope that this podcast was super simple, super practical, because I think sometimes we need this. You know, Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind, right? And this is about like the contentment of a different pace of life. I think for me, this is what this means. Instead of always having to chase and toil and have to fill every single moment, every single day with stuff, can we just be, operating in a different pace? Again, you're not going to lose your drive. You're actually going to find a new fire because you'll be rested enough to do your most meaningful work. You'll have the clarity not to be chasing your tail, but be actually focused on pursuing the things that actually move the needle most. You'll be operating more in your zone of genius instead of saying yes to everything. This is why when people say, I want more time. If I only had more time. If you already don't know how to manage your time and you get more time, you're just going to waste the time you have. You're just going to put on more meetings that you don't want to be in. You're going to say yes to more work you don't want to be doing. You're going to take on more projects that are misaligned. Like, if you don't know how to manage what you've got, getting more of something isn't going to make it better. It's like, if you can't handle one woman, if you can't handle one thing, don't think that, okay, someone else, something more is going to fix the problem. Like, get good at stewarding what you have so that you can show up fully present, fully energized to actually be there, to steward it well, to pour life into it, to multiply it, and put that on repeat, right? And then you will increase. So whatever that thing is for you, same thing with money, right? More money is not going to solve your problems if you don't know how to manage money. This was my story, gosh, for so many years. And one day soon in the near future, I'm going to be talking more and more and more about financial stewardship and wealth and kingdom style. Okay, you guys, thank you for being here today. Today we talked about just five simple practices that I put in place. I encourage you to just look at where in your life do you get to adopt maybe some of these things, make them your own. Do you see yourself always needing to be rushing from one thing to the next? Is your life full? Do you have a full life, a rich life, like depth of meaning and richness and fulfillment and the things that really bring you joy? And can you enjoy them while you're there with them? Or is your life just full of a bunch of stuff that leaves you exhausted at the end of the day? There's a difference between having a full life, a rich life, and a life that's full of stuff that just weighs you down. You guys, thank you for being here. If you think that this show was worthy of being passed on and somebody else in your life needs to hear this message, hit forward right now. Share this podcast episode with a friend or colleague who could probably benefit from this message. As always, I love to see your reviews. I love to read your reviews. If you haven't done that, subscribe and follow, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute right now to subscribe and review. Your 5-star review goes so far in getting this message into the ears and hearts of the people who need to receive it. Thank you again for being part of this conversation. Have a beautiful, blessed, and prosperous day.